Welcome to VFN Radio. Here we are, faithfully yours, to encourage you, to inspire you, to comfort you, to remind you of what our Lord has said to us, the lover of our soul. Yes, VFN Radio, 24/7 at VFNTV.com, on your mobile apps, smart televisions, and soon to be syndicated all around the United States. Yes, VFN Radio, I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, joining me this wonderful Thursday, last day of January, is the producer of VFN Radio program, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Hello. Give a shout out to all those who have a birthday today. I want to wish you a happy birthday. Think about it. God had that day in mind. He had that day in mind before the foundations of the earth that you would be born on that day. He's got good plans in store for you, plans to bless you and to prosper you and to restore the years the locusts have devoured. His thoughts towards you are good. That's why you had this day in mind. Celebrate it. The creator of the universe made sure that you had a birthday. Happy birthday. Wow, thank you to all of our Facebook fans. Amazing. Share it with your friends every day. Every day, encouragement going around. 1 billion people obeying the Great Commission, the Great Commandment, letting people know God loves them and God's got a plan for their life. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is the producer of VFN Radio program, Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And the one, the only, John Ramos.
Hello.
Hey, Juan Paul, how's up this morning? What's up?
What's up, man?
I don't know, man. My heart so goes out to the Padilla family this morning.
I know.
My heart is just, you know, heavy. But yet, I think about Eddie and Joanne, how awesome gifts they are to us and to the world. Mm-hmm. And just beautiful people, you know, loyal and just trustworthy and faithful and love, you know, loves their father because their father went to go past yesterday. I know that you were there with them.
I was. I had a chance to go up to the Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, beautiful place, and had some time to be with the family, and we had a chance to go out to dinner, and it's just nice being time like that. You just want to be around family, and it's just good just to talk and just remember some more happier times, and just heart's just broken, you know. It's just broken,
you know, and it's just so important. So often, you know, fathers aren't appreciated, and of course they appreciate their father amazingly. But you know what, there is no sons or daughters without a father.
That's
so true.
There is no, I mean, they had some input in what happened in the next generation, obviously.
Yeah.
And he just brought wonderful gifts to the world and definitely to us. So our hearts go out to you. And our heart also goes out to those that have recently lost their father. That, you know, I feel like there's a lot of people out there that if you explain your relationship with your father, the word would be complicated. It's complicated. I mean, you know, you've tried to connect, you try to relate, and it's complicated. Not the fact that you two did not really want to connect. It's just the enemy has done so many things. Satan has done so many things in the second heavens and done everything to destroy the father's connection to his children and the children's connection to their father, that there's just so much in the atmosphere and so many woundings and all these different things, and that you have two people who love each other dearly, a daughter or a son trying to connect to a father and a father trying to connect, but they're trying to get over all the things that the enemy's trying to do, which shows how awesome that relationship is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But complicated. I think America's relationship with their father is complicated. And it's because there's an all-out attack against the father's role and trying to break down the concept of who Father God is. Because all of a sudden, if you don't, like Barbara Walters said on her show a couple of years back, she said, we don't need men anymore. All we need is just donors.
Mm.
And with that, you know, understanding that we do need men.
Yeah, we
need, you know, we do need fathers. And to talk positively about fathers is not to talk negatively about mothers. Mm. To talk positively about men is not to talk negatively about women. You can focus on one gender at a time, and you can say all the wonderful things that God has established and blessed. And I'm telling you, fathers are so significant. That's where you get your identity from. That's why you have so many people struggling trying to figure out who they are, because their father was maybe just, you know, beat up in life, and he didn't have a father maybe, or a healthy father role model. And everybody's trying to find themselves, and it's like first generation over and over and over again. And I've seen, you know, I've seen ministers who are over God's people that are just have such deep father wounds that they never went and got healed. They never said, I got to get this thing healed. And so you have all that dysfunction and fear and anxiety and, oh no, because that's what, that's what a disconnected son is like. They're like, they just don't feel, they haven't heard an affirming public affirmation. And they're just, and they're scared to ask because it might not be public, and it might not be affirming.
I mean, that you want to hear.
And it might not be good because of what the enemy said about your relationship. And the truth is, that complicated spirits of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
So Satan, that's why I remember on in a particular prison, Hallmark did a study where on Father's Day, it was all-male prison, they brought, Mother's Day, an all-male prison, and they brought Mother's Day cards into the prison. And they were going to, you know, provide free cards for all the men to be able to write to their mothers. And so many men came and got those cards that they had to come back and restock the Mother's Day cards. And they thought, wow, so we're going to go ahead and now Father's Day comes up, the same prison, same men, same Hallmark company, and they come and they stock all these cards for Father's Day. John, not one man came out of one cell to get one card for one father to say Happy Father's Day. Think about it.
Wow.
Think about it. I believe it's like 90% of you sitting in prison today come from their father's absent life, fatherless home.
Right.
That 70 or 80% of all prisoners come from having a father's absence in their life. And you know, you can have a father there, and by personal experience, it don't just happen.
No, it don't.
I'm a father. It's like, well, act like it. You know, help me out here. Give me a grid.
Yeah, right.
Give me a grid. And do
Talk
I bark
to me?
Do I bark at my wife too? What do I do here? Anyway, so. And I want to encourage you, it's complicated because that's how awesome it is. It's complicated. It's worth the investment. It's worth humbling yourself. It's worth, you know, King David falling down before Saul and risking his head being cut off so that he could have a spiritual father. When he said to Saul, when he was hunting out to kill him, he was more interested in being rightly related to his spiritual father than his spiritual father that was overtaken by a lot of demonic activity that was going to take his head off. The only reason he had a distance from his father, spiritual father, so he could live. That was it. I mean, he served him just loyally. He served him so good that people saw his service and began to lift him up, and his Saul became jealous.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, he fell to the ground. He says, you know, my father. Mm-hmm. You know, and because of the complicatedness of things that are going on, so many people would just say, my enemy. And things, you got to just, to have a true relationship with anybody, you know, you got to man up. You gotta be willing to hurt. You gotta be willing to repent. You gotta be willing to say you're sorry. You gotta be willing to just say, you know, if you start, it's sort of like the guy that was in upstate New York, nothing personal, John. And you know, he got married 125 times, they said. 125 times. And he got divorced 125 times. You would think around the 80th time.
You would think around the 80th time
that he would have thought, maybe it's not my wife's. Maybe it's not my children, you know, maybe I'm just like a wounded boy that just happens to be above 18 and below 100. You want to look at people and you want to say, okay, you know, okay, you're 50, you know, this is all resolved, right? And next thing you know, the pacifier comes out, the finger pointing comes out, the lipstick out, and it's just like, oh my goodness, all these wounded men And we spent 10 years with speaking into the hearts of men and boys. We spent 10 years. It's called The Next Step Outback. You can see it at greglancasterministries.org and click on ministries there. You can see videos of it. And that thousands of men came and they were wounded. They were wounded. Finally, you just had to own up. You had to say, okay, we're a mess. Mm-hmm. We're a mess, but that's okay. God loves us. We can get through this. And we just began to watch God love on fathers, and it was beautiful, mm-hmm. you know, and love on these men. As somebody said, well, you know, how come you don't have a father-daughter? How come you don't have a mother-son or a mother-daughter? Although right. we eventually had something for them. But at the beginning, we needed to start with the one that she was going to marry. If you don't have health, how in the world can you expect healthy men tomorrow if you don't have healthy sons today?
That's right.
And so we began to speak in the life of the sons, the older sons and the younger sons. Some were fathers, some were sons, but they all were sons. Right. And watch the power of God, the glory of God, do some awesome things. And it helped us because we didn't have a grid, you know, because it was complicated. It was all complicated in our life. And in regards to the spiritual aspect of it, and it was just amazing to watch, you know, what happened, what was going on. But when you find out, you can have a lot of empathy when you understand there's been an all-outright attack against, you know, 10 generations of fathers and 10 generations of spiritual fathers. And the reason why there's what Dr. Mark Hamby says, you know, he talks about orphanages, which are cool. I mean, think about it. They take care of your basic needs. They protect you. They educate you. They see if nobody's taking care of you, at least, you know, you're going to have a chance.
Right.
You know, but you still have... Yeah, and the president of the Fatherhood Initiative, he said, I forget his name, maybe you know it, John, he said that everybody has a unique hole in their heart shaped like the father. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that can fill that unique hole, you know, I see it like a puzzle. That one piece is missing is a father. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Father God. Father God's a father to the fatherless. I like what, you know, Mike Bickle said, listen, if you've been looking and looking, trying to find a spiritual father and you can't find one, just come on, it's time to be one. Mm-hmm. At some point, you know, a fatherless generation, somebody has to rise up and say, you know what, I'm going to give others what I never got.
Right.
Wow. And you know exactly what people need because you whined about it for 20 years. You told right. everybody that was your problem. Now you got to be humbled and you got to realize how hard it was for your father to be able to do that or your spiritual father to do that, because now you're actually doing it. Mm-hmm. Instead of criticizing people who didn't do it to you.
Yeah, people criticize someone for being, you know, a five on the proverbial scale of 1 to 10 of a father. It's like, well, no.
He was a five?
His dad was like a -6. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, he's doing good. You know what I'm saying? And he's really, because, you know, no
the,
one.
The boy's like four foot tall and 400 pounds. It's like, dude, how did you get that weight on you? A dad must have provided for you. That's some food, in, right? It's food.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Something happened there.
Yeah.
You're right.
So you really need a greater perspective to realize, hey, man, we're all learning.
Right. We just need to learn. I mean, I just, you know, I feel Joanne, I feel Eddie, and I like the way that, you know, Eddie's like, he's broke all generational curses, and he's just standing up, and he's being the man, and he's being a father, and he went back and began to speak into his family, and you know, some of the things you shared with me, and I'm just so proud of him. But that's what happens. At some point, you know, Joseph had to man up and realize, although I love my father and all the things that are going on, my father's now coming to me for a provision inside of Egypt called Goshen for mm-hmm. me to take care. And I need to play my role in the context of this and begin to provide for my brothers and their families and all. And so in the context of this, it makes me think about, this is actually a sign that when the father-daughter, father-son relationship is complicated, it's evidence that that's how important it is. And that there's an all-outright attack to that. But also, the other sign is that in Malachi 4, 5, and 6, Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, and when John the Baptist became doing the very same thing, preparing the way for the Lord, the one way that we'll know that the Lord is soon to return is when you start hearing people who are moving in the spirit of Elijah. And the spirit of Elijah is just a father's heart, Godfather heart, that just loves, you know, their spiritual children, their natural children. And it says that he will turn the hearts before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, or else he'll smite the earth with a curse. And it's preparing the way of the Lord. It's just preparing the way of the Lord. And so don't give up, you know, when you're tired of trying to figure something complicated out. Just be faithful. Just realize that it's not hey, listen, you're a human being. Your father's a human being. Your spiritual father's a human being. You know, your daughter's a human being. Your son's a human being. You know, and the enemies, you're going through the same similar things. They're going through all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And God sees it, and he's moved with compassion. He's going to begin to heal those areas. And this is the big thing is don't pray that, you know, that God would heal everybody else so that your life will be better. Be better. Pray that God would heal you.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Because a son is faithful to the end. I mean, it has nothing to do with somebody else being, you know, towards you. It's like, I'm a son.
Sure.
I'm mm-hmm. a son, and this is it. And God, I'm grateful for it. And if I never, and this is us towards God, right? Same way. Right. It's like, if this is it. I'm just glad to be in the family. Mm-hmm. Glad to be in the family. And maybe this generation on, from me on, I'll try to learn from what I didn't get so I can give it to the ones who need it. Mm-hmm. And so Mike Bickle says, you know, stop looking for one and start being one. But I can encourage you that I'm talking and seeing a lot of men that walked in tradition at once that were apostles, but the tradition wouldn't allow them to walk in that. Some tradition didn't even believe there was one. And, you know, every spiritual father is not an apostle, but every apostle is a father. They have a father's heart. And I'm watching that take place, and it's beautiful because that's a response. I mean, God's touching hearts. It wasn't just a good idea. It's God's beginning to prepare the way. And one of the signs the Lord will soon return is there will be family. The church will be family again. We'll be brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers, and there will be a father over the family. There will be an apostolic father over the family. And there'll be several apostolic fathers around in your city, and in your, I mean, just, I mean, when they went over to Iraq to begin to free them up from all the captivities and all the things that were going on, the American soldiers, the biggest issue they had were the fathers, because the fathers had families. They didn't have they were actually a law, you know, in regards to their families, and they were trying, right. And families were fighting families, and which family's going to take over? No, that actually is lost people. Doing that. And the sad thing about it, some of those same behaviors happen in the church. Mm. Instead of saying, hey, it's just, you want to hang around fathers. You know, you want to hang around. And in a secure son, it's really difficult to do because, you know, you feel like you're just any moment, you know, you're all that's going to be revealed. And the truth is, we're all that way. We're all that way. You know, if God would not, you know, does not hold us up, we'll crumble.
That's right.
You know, if God doesn't let us stand on the rug and he pulls it out from under us, we fall. But you know what? I will not, this is our prayer, Lord, I won't be offended by your judgments. You do whatever you need to do what you need to do in the earth today so that others may know you as Father. So I want to encourage you today. This is stole my heart, and we've walked this out. We've walked it out. You can see it at greglancasterministries.org, and click on ministries, and you'll see Next Step Outback, and you'll watch the awesomeness of what took place in the wilderness that no one can take away from us because God revealed his heart about fathers. We're family. Did you know that God has called us to be family? We're called to be the family of God. It's Father God. It's not like King God. It's Father God. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is our elder brother. Yes, he's our Lord and our Savior, but he's the firstborn. He's the head of the church. He's our elder brother. We are not, we're heirs of God, not heirs of Jesus. We're joint heirs with Jesus.
That's right.
We're family. We're sisters and brothers. That's what we're supposed to love each other. The family of God. I remember Jesus was sitting around with his disciples in a house, by the way, and he's teaching them about the things of God. Ooh. And his biological mother, Mary, and brother comes to the house, and they're knocking on the outside of the door. And they said, and of course, they're talking to each other. Mary and her son's talking and says, oh, my goodness, Jesus has lost his mind. They really thought Jesus lost his mind.
That's right.
They lost his mind, and he hasn't eaten. He's been a long time since he's eaten. We need to go rescue him. We need to rescue him from his ministry because he's lost his mind. Don't you know this is supposed to happen in a temple, not in a house? And this goes on. And then Jesus, of all the things he said, this is very important, he said, you know, somebody comes out and said, yo, your mom was outside, you know, and yo, sir, no, yo, your mom's outside. And so Jesus stops and he pauses. He looks at the disciples and he's talking to them. He says, listen, let me tell you who the family of God is. Mm. Let me tell you who my mother and my brother is. Those who do the will of my Father. Yes. Oh, more than anything, you want your biological family to follow God. But the truth is,
You have no control over them. You tell them the truth and you honor their decision. Listen, the true family of God is those who follow his teachings, that have a desire to follow Jesus. See, the church is a family. Get into your, right now where you're at, in your fellowship. Say, listen, we need to start being family.
Mm-hmm.
And if people just still relate to you like sand, like organizations, like an orphanage, you know, just get your food, sit down, shut up, don't know nobody. Listen, find a fellowship that functions as family. Maybe Vine Fellowship Network's for you. Maybe there's a church in your area. Maybe God has planted in your heart. So, you know what? I want to begin this in my own city. Check it out. VineFellowshipNetwork.org, where we're loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same. Taking VFN Radio and VFN TV anywhere you want to go, Wi-Fi or no-fi. Why? Because of the podcast. We have podcasting available for you right now. What happens with podcasts? You go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, choose the source of podcast that you want to receive it in based on your particular device, computer or mobile device, and realize it just automatically will do what you set it up to do. It will download it while you're having lunch. It'll download it while you're at work. And then when you're driving anywhere in the world, flying anywhere in the world, even when you're on an airline, they say turn off all these mobile phones. You still can actually listen to what's already on your playlist, which would be downloaded programs and highlights from VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast today. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the first hour is Pat Hamilton and John Ramos. We're just talking about the Father's heart. You need to hear it. Oh, don't give up on the Father's heart. Don't give up. Understand, part of knowing Father God is knowing his heart. And understand there's an all-outright attack on the paradigm of God's heart, which is good towards you. And he has this plans to bless you and restore you, that there is no performance acceptance syndrome. And what performance acceptance syndrome is somebody who just keeps on trying to please God and never, and because it's actually Satan lying to them that they need to do this, Satan never lets them feel as if they've ever pleased God. And they spend their entire vapor, this life on earth, continually doing more and doing more. And they're trying to work, trying to earn God's love, instead of realizing while they were yet a sinner, before they even knew God, that the Lord loved them and died for us. And he's just awesome. And when it's so cool, because then when you get your understanding of God and the context of him being your Father, not only are you a joint heir with Jesus Christ, you're an heir. Think about that. You are an heir of God, the creator of the universe. And your spirit bears witness with his spirit, the Holy Spirit, that you are a son of God. That's huge. That's huge. It is so huge. And that's why the adversary works overtime, you know, the jealous adversary trying to do everything to get you to not understand that is how God's heart is towards you. And so he tells you, he says, listen, you know, you're going to need to do this and do that. And there's just no love there. You're just trying to earn love. You're trying to, if you have the performance acceptance syndrome, God will accept me if I perform right. God will accept me if I perform right. You know, and everybody around you can't stand you because you feel unloved. But it's only because you feel unloved because you won't receive the love of God. And you're thinking, well, I don't have time to deal with you because I'm trying to get God's love.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, listen, if you don't love them, you don't love me. And you can't just bypass, you know, your brother and your sister and say, hey, I'm going to have a relationship with God while you diss your brother and sister and the Lord. Understand right. that, hey, that's actually God. You know, they're not God. But he says, whatever you do, the least of these, you do it to me. If you say you love God that you can't see, but you don't love your brother that you can see, he says, you just totally don't get it. That, sorry to say, he said, that would be, you'd be a lie. It would be a lie. And it's a lie from the enemy, you know, thinking that you have to earn it. We couldn't earn it. Believe me, so much religion took place since the Garden of Eden, men trying to earn their way to God. And the only way that we can get in the family of God and have God as our Father and us as his sons and daughters is through his Son, Jesus Christ. He wanted sons, he wanted daughters, he wanted family, he wanted to be our Father. But the only way that could be done
is through him sacrificing his son, taking all of our wrongs and all of our sin that ever was or ever will be, and placing it upon Jesus so that we can be in the family. I mean, think about it. How in the world, how do we end up believing these things about, you know, my father, Father God doesn't love me, when he allowed somebody to beat his son with a whip and rip his son's back open and press a crown of thorns on his head, lie to him, call him Satan. Of all the people, all the things that Jesus could have been called, you know, Satan grabbed a hold of you know, the Pharisees and religious folks' tongues, and they looked right at the Son of God and called him Satan, which is the antithesis of the enemy of God. And but he did it because he loves us. He not only is he a good father, he's had in mind to be your father. And so you can begin to read about him and pray and get right relationship with him and get into the family. If you're in an expression that basically you show up and you're like in troughs, you know, you stay in your trough, they stay in their trough, and you love God, you'll do anything for God, but you don't know anybody. I mean, you know them politically in the sense that just, you know, you could say some things about them, but you don't have a clue what they're going through, and they don't have a clue what you're going through. Begin to build relationships with a few people in your fellowship. Begin to abide with Father God through his son, Jesus Christ, and begin to say, God, reveal to me your heart. Remember, we were in Washington, D.C., and we were at Stand in the Gap and with the Promise Keepers, and we were staying with a couple, and he was down there with us, and he was talking to us, and he was prophesying to us is what he was really doing. And he just like over and over again in a whisper, he would say, it's the Father's heart. It's the Father's heart.
Yeah.
Over and over. It's the Father's heart. I mean, he had no idea probably that he was prophesying like he was. He was prophesying out of his pain, and God was using him. But over and over again, it's the Father's heart. And I got news for you. It's the Father's heart, and his heart is good towards you. He's got good plans in store for you. He truly does sing over you, and he will forgive your sins if you just ask him and quit trying to perform to accept him. And just, you know, God accepts you as you are, and then he begins to just impart into you where in your abiding relationship with him that all of a sudden things are happening in your life you're totally surprised of, but you unmistakably give God the credit for it because you know that couldn't be you. That just totally couldn't be you. So I just want to encourage you, you know, don't step into this performance acceptance. You know, I got to perform for God to accept me. While you were yet a sinner, he died for you. And I like what Jesus said when he was about to, and if you don't feel loved by God, you can't humble yourself. You're a very prideful man. You're very, which is protective, and you're very
closed.
And the last thing you would do would be show a weakness. And Jesus is about, the Son of God is about to wash his disciples. God is about to wash his disciples' feet. They finish eating. He takes off his robe. He puts a towel around him, and he begins to wash the 12 disciples' feet. And this is what he says before he said it. Before he did it, he says, because my Father has told me who I am. And if you're having trouble, you know, acknowledging that you've been wrong, you can't repent. You know, you can't say you've caused all this problems and you'd be surprised the power of your ability just to say you're sorry, you know, but you can't do it if you don't feel loved, if you don't know that you're loved by God. There's a real, I mean, you may be able to out of your head, but you feel like you're losing something when you humble yourself. And the truth is you're gaining everything when you humble yourself.
Right.
You know, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And he said, because my Father told me who I am. And if you don't have a natural father that's alive, or a natural father that has that kind of understanding and revelation, maybe they're not a believer, but even if they're not a believer, they still can bless you. Just imagine that you don't even have that aspect of a natural father. You can begin to pray, say, God, bring a spiritual father in my life. You know, like Paul to Timothy, like Elijah to Elijah, you know, like Paul to Titus, and to begin to just show you and demonstrate the love of the Father. And you'd be surprised in that relationship. It just gives you a paradigm for God's love. It gives you a real authenticity to what God's called us to do. I mean, he calls us family. He doesn't call us an organization. He calls us family. He wanted sons, so he gave his son. This is all about family. And if we don't function as family in close proximity you know, going through all the ups and downs of life, then when the ups and downs happen, we have nobody there for us. That's when people just show up for a counseling session from a stranger they don't even know, who happens to have a sign on their door, or happens to have a title to their name, and they pour their life out mm-hmm. to a stranger mm. instead of saying, you know what, there's in this life you're going to have trouble, you're going to have storms, and things are going to come. I'm just going to get rightly related now. Mm-hmm. I'm going to build my relationship now so I can be confident that my relationship with maybe an apostolic father, maybe a spiritual father in the Lord, is that I know that they do love me. They do see God in my life, and they're for me and not against me. And so when they do speak into my life things I need to hear, they're not rejecting me.
Right.
They're actually helping me to get the very thing that they see and you see in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And think about it. It's the most selfless thing anybody can do to say, hey, I'm going to be a father or a mother. I mean, because it's basically you're pouring everything that you have into that child, that they would grow up and that they would leave you and be fruitful. Although you're still related, there is no benefit. It's in the context of personal growth other than love and compassion. You just want them to make it. You want them to have everything that God's called them to be. There is no competitive spirit. You're not worried about them joining you in the city to be able to have a, you know, reach other people. You're excited about it. You're going, that's my boy. That's my girl.
Exactly.
You're not going, oh my goodness, I'm going to lose some of my, you know, that's crazy. It's one family, one God, and one Lord, and one Spirit, and of course, one Father. Mm. And I just want to encourage you that and we're just focusing on fathers the first part of this program. And like I said at the beginning, you know, the one way you can describe the father relationship in America is complicated. And proof positive is the president of the United States, Barack Obama, President Barack Obama, is a product of a fatherless home, you know, and a mother that basically, you know, based on Obama 2016, who did a study from King's College, President King's College, kind of just looked at his life. And mm-hmm. it was like she was shopping for different fathers that couldn't, she was training him up for what she wanted him to be. But what he needed was his father, which he finally got to. Based on the study,
mm-hmm.
to Kenya, where his father was buried, and he says, when he talks, the book that President Obama wrote, which is basically a concept, not actual, a lot of facts in it, but he used facts to write this, supposedly, but he called it, you know, Dreams from My Father, Dreams from My Father, not Dreams of My Father,
mm-hmm.
and because he didn't have that kind of relationship, I think he met him once or twice, maybe at an airport or something,
yeah,
that he said he built a whole concept of what he could get from his father. You know what I'm saying? He didn't take his father's dreams because he didn't have that connection in the context of that. And when you have a right relationship with a spiritual father, for example, a spiritual mother, is that you're the continuation of what God is doing amongst you. I mean, which is God's, there's not a lot of people are saying, well, I don't know, God may be doing something different. God's doing the same thing he's always done. He's going to all men everywhere and letting them know that he gave his son for them that they might live and not die and be with him forever. Don't complicate that. And then we're to seek and save, preach salvation to them that they would be saved, and then rightly relate to them, baptize them, teach them to obey the teachings of Jesus like we're supposed to be doing, and then relate, but train them up and launch them out, do the very same thing to let other people know about God. It's not as complicated as religion made it out to be. And it's not as frivolous, you know, as those who are rebellious made out to be, but there is a family element to the whole thing. It's just family.
Mm-hmm.
It is just family.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, you know, to have that type of relationship. The complicated is a really amazing word to really label it and to really understand. You know, I had some time working at a foster home. It was amazing. All the troubles and all the different things that children would get into, and they were just so crying out just for a father, just someone to speak into their life. And then later I wound up working for the Department of Juvenile Justice and worked with juveniles that were getting in trouble, and oftentimes I would dare say that probably 95% of all the children that I ever worked with that went through a lot of trials didn't have a father at home. And fathers are significant, they're very special. And, you know, you're seeing, I believe you're seeing a lot of hearts turn. I mean, you see it in the culture today. You see it in just all around, even amongst friends and people that we talk to. We're starting to see that people are turning back and saying, listen, we need our fathers. You can't replace them. Government can't replace them. Programs can't replace them.
They're trying, but you can't.
Oh, they're trying hard, but you can't. You can't. It matters. It matters. I remember, you know, an older gentleman that I met at one time, and it was, you know, I mean, in the world's eyes, super successful, and had the things that many people probably were trying to get in their life, you know, the houses and the successful business and all that type of stuff. And here he is at the end of his life retiring, and he feels so incomplete because he doesn't have, as he would say, his daddy's blessing. His daddy's like in his 90s. Mm. And he takes his trip all the way across the country just so that his daddy could put his hands on him and bless him. Don't underestimate the power of a blessing.
And you know, I mean, what I've observed is watching that a father who loves his son or daughter and a son or daughter who loves their father, both of them are just beat up by the devil. And so
totally.
All of them, you know, the children feel unworthy and they're just desperate for his blessing, but the enemies attack the father and he feels unworthy. Then who is he to bless someone?
Yeah.
And so their hands are paralyzed, dangling at their side. Their jaws are like lockjaw wrapped with huge chains. And all they can get out is, But behind all that is like, I would, but I'm so unworthy to bless you. Who am I to bless you? And then the son and the daughter says, you know, I'm so unworthy without your blessing. And it's like, man, you just hate the devil, what the devil does, right?
Yeah.
They crawl up like they're expecting rejection. But once you've come to yourself and realize you sin before God and you sin before man, and you repent, I mean, you're going to be welcomed like the prodigal son. Jesus said it is. I mean, it just happens that way. And it's just like you got to get past the lies of the enemy saying that you're not worthy enough to bless your natural or spiritual children, or you're not worthy enough that you can't survive if somebody chose not to lay their hands on you and bless you.
Right.
And it's so important because you think about it today that when Jacob was going to go be with the Lord, he blessed each of his sons, the patriarchs. But the blessing coincided with what he observed in their life. It wasn't something that some mystery was pulled out. He just kind of said, this is how you are, you know, and this is what's going on. And, you know, you're like water, you know, or somebody else says, you know, you're good with food, or you're going to be by the ports, and, you know, all these different blessings. And that's exactly how their life came out. But a father observes what's in their son's lives.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a magical thing that you're looking for character and your father's going to lay hands on you, get character.
Mm-hmm.
It's the fact that your father, you get right relationship with your father, a spiritual father, and he's going to help you work on your character.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I was waiting for something to change. Oh, it's going to happen. It's going to change. Relax. Relax. Let's just have a cup of coffee. Let's just relax. And somebody says, well, how quickly can this happen? I guess as fast as you can go through the process of cutting things off and healing again and cutting things off and healing again. You know, and they say, let's just do this thing. About 90 days later, he's like, you know, I have no problem. This takes about 20 years.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm totally okay with it.
Like, put that knife down.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because God talks about the circumcision of the heart.
Right.
And there's things in our heart when we've been wounded and we had a father's absence or just whatever. I'm just, you know, I like what T.D. Jakes says, you know, that, you know, everybody talked about blaming Satan for everything. But he said, Lord, help, save me from me. Mm-hmm. You know, I did some stuff before I got saved, and I did some stuff since I got saved. And if God doesn't have my strings, then Satan does. Lord, help me from me.
That's right.
And the truth is, a father understands that. And a father, they know you, and they love you. And you want to really listen up, because they normally have an eye that can prevent a lot of damage, and if they're not insecure, if they're not worried about, they don't have worldly wisdom on them, and sometimes, you know, because of damage and wounding, they can't get past that. But like Saul and David, I mean, Saul would have done everything and anything for David, would have done anything for Saul, but the truth is, because of what Saul wrestled with, which is pride and self-preservation, and he's worried about what he had, that he's willing to kill his son off. You know, to be able to have that, and but David, you know, wasn't like that, and David had a heart that was after God. While we're still talking about, I love it, talking about the Father's heart. We'll be right back. Pat, isn't abiding with the Lord just an awesome thing to be able to do?
Oh yeah, it's wonderful.
I mean, talk to us, man. How has that affected your life?
Well, it's just changed it. I mean, for years I struggled with that. You know, spending time with God in regards to, you know, hearing his voice. But when God introduced me to abiding, and you know, and journaling and hearing what he's saying and writing it down, it's just, it's been life transforming. I mean, it's, I can hear him clearly, and it's beautiful, and, you know, he just, it's just a wonderful thing.
It's so cool, isn't it, to know that you're hearing the voice of God?
Yeah. Yeah, it's beautiful.
He says that, you know, his sheep will hear his voice and follow none other.
That's right.
Oh, that's so important, isn't it?
It's just amazing. And he knows exactly what you're going through at that particular time in your life. And it's just amazing where he leads you.
Right.
You know, you think you did it.
Right.
You know, when you open up the scriptures and there it is. And like, wow. Wow, God, that was awesome.
This is cool, too, that by doing it, you begin to be faithful, that all of a sudden your whole family now abides with God, and by alone with God,
mm-hmm.
they all even come together and share about it, right?
That's right. Yeah, we sure do. We all come together at the same time every week, get together as a family, my wife, my two children, and we talk about what God said to us that week.
Does God speak to everybody in your family?
Every one of them, yep.
And what's their ages? The children.
Yeah. Yeah, right. My 10-year-old son, my 14-year-old daughter.
Right. Isn't that awesome, though,
yeah.
to know that God is speaking to your whole family?
Yeah.
You're out there, you're listening right now, you're thinking, man, I didn't think that was possible. I thought you had some lesson plan or something. You had some little study guide or something. I didn't know that you can have a simple plan that even a 10-year-old can do and hear from God, hear the voice of God. Listen, we're called to hear his voice. If you don't have a plan, we have a simple plan for you. It's available at iabide.org. It's free. Request it today. Go to iabide.org. Request your plan. It'll be sent to you immediately in your email, iabide.org. You know, it's so exciting to think about that we personally can be a part of what God is doing in the season that we live. So often we look in the history books, we look at others, and we say, look what they did and look what they're doing. But we found out that we can affect this generation. We found out through VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program that there is a virtual stadium of an audience that joins us and stays with us 365 days a year. And we also found out the way that we can actually get them exposed to VFN-TV and VFN Radio is through the social networking community. Over a billion people plus are involved in the social network community. And for a dollar, for a simple dollar, we're able to communicate with them. It kind of averages out to about a dollar based on what we presently know. That when we share it with them, they come and sit down in the stadium and they get to hear all the encouraging words, all the prophetic happenings, things that we're sharing to encourage them, but also draw them to Christ. Yes, Billy Graham did it for years in stadiums and did it wonderful, but we have a virtual stadium that stretches from as far as the east as from the west, and you can be a part of it. Partner today, go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. A dollar puts one person to see. Imagine $1 a month. That's 12 people in a year that you sat down that stays in the stadium. $5 a month. You're sitting 5 people in the virtual stadium. Or $100. That's 100 people a month that you're sitting in this virtual stadium to be encouraged, because we're partnering together to bring people to the light of Jesus Christ. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
We all need a pep talk.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. In the first hour, I'm Greg Lancaster, your host, and joining me is Pat and John.
Hello, 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 hello.
What's up?
Hey, man, oh my goodness. I don't know if you guys seen this video yet. I don't know if, have you guys heard of the Kid President? Have you heard of the Kid President?
I may have, but I hadn't heard about it.
Well, I have a treat for you. I want you to hear a pep talk from the Kid President. He's going to pep us up.
I think we all need a pep talk. The world needs you to stop being boring. Yeah, you. Boring is easy. Everybody can be boring, but you're gooder than that. Life is not a game, people. Life isn't a cereal eater. Well, it is a cereal. And if life is a game, aren't we all on the same team? I mean, really, right? I'm on your team. You're on my team. This is life, people. You got air coming through your nose. You got heartbeat. That means it's time to do something. A poem. Two roads diverged in the woods, and I took the road less traveled. It hurt, man! really bad at rocks, forms, and glass. My pants broke. Wah! Not cool, Robert Frost. But what if they really were two paths? I won't be in the one that leads to awesome. It's like that dude Journey said, don't stop believing unless you dream stupid. Then you should get a better dream. I think that's how it goes. Get a better dream and keep going. Keep going, keep going, and keep going. Will Michael Jordan have quit? Well, he didn't quit. So he retired. Yeah, yes, he retired. But before that, in high school, what if he quit when he didn't make the team? He would have never made Space Jam. And I love Space Jam. What will be your Space Jam? What will you create will make the world awesome? Nothing if you keep sitting there. That's why I'm talking to you today. This is your time. This is my time. It's our time. We can make every day better for each other. If we're all on the same team, let's start acting like it. We got work to do. We can cry about it, or we can dance about it. We were made to be awesome. Let's get out there. I don't know everything. I'm just a kid. But I do know this. It's everybody's duty to give the world a reason to dance. So get to it. You've just been pep talked. Create something that will make the world awesome.
That so reminds me of Isaiah's dance, right?
Oh yeah,
that's funny.
Oh man, you got to see that. Can you make that available on the VFN Torch so they can see this young boy?
We'll make it available. Michael Jordan would have quit. We wouldn't have no Space Jam.
Yeah,
I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Well, he did quit, but he retired.
Yeah,
you got to see this young boy delivering that. That is hilarious. That is totally hilarious. Well, you know, I think about, I remember I was pondering this morning about a time that we were in Israel, and I don't know if we were in Jerusalem. It was you and I were in Jerusalem, and somebody that's part of the Aaron priesthood, the lineage of Aaron priesthood, we were there in his office, and we're trying to be really calm and, you know, not just be just there.
Yeah.
And he had some drawings and some pictures about with Mary Magdalene and Jesus at she was at his feet, and the drawing is, and Jesus, she's pouring perfume over his feet, and of course it's just a beautiful picture. That's I'm Mary, you know what I'm saying? And so mm-hmm. But when we're in his office, I remember that God just began to speak through him, and all of a sudden God's glory, his presence impregnated that room. I don't know if you remember that, how powerful that was. And we were trying to be calm, you know, and astute and just, you know, not any kind of, you know, mushiness and that type of thing. And, oh, man, God's presence came in, and we just began to weep and began to just, our hearts just broke. And tears just started pouring down, not just dripping down, but pouring down. And all I could do, because I was sitting down, and then he began to speak the blessing of the priesthood over us. And it was like God just began to just impart something. Israel was mm-hmm. Has been encounters for me, what God has done in Israel. Mm-hmm. And I remember going forward, I was sitting down and putting my elbows on my knees, because you're just overtaken by God's power and his awesomeness. And so many tears came out of both of my eyes. It was streaming from my eyes.
Wow.
I was so broken in God's presence. I was so overtaken by him. You know, when Songs of Solomon, when you read Song of Solomon, and you hear Misty Edwards, and you hear people who are going after his heart and the love and the bridegroom. But the truth is that we're overwhelmed by who he is, and that when he shows up in a powerful way, it's just like, this is what I was designed for. But I was pondering, I remember that, and it was just, you know, oh, well, so much for being all together and everything. All I could do was just lean forward so I wouldn't drown by my tears that came forth when God was blessing me with this priesthood blessing, you know, and he's actually from the family, he's from the lineage, you know, the Aaron lineage. It was a powerful thing.
Oh, wow.
Like, we're totally caught by surprise. I mean, it was not something we were planning on doing, as we were, you know, doing different things in Israel. And, but it's just, I want to encourage you that, God so loves you. And just his very presence will just solve everything. It will just solve everything.
That's right.
And if you've been a person that have not been able to shed a tear for years, just don't try to cry. Just go after God.
Yeah.
Go after God. And it doesn't have to be broken tears. It could be tears of joy.
Yeah.
And the awesomeness of who he is. But literally imagine now, streams came from my eyes. It was the most wildest thing. It's like at some point you think, well, it'd be like short and it'd be over with.
Yeah.
But just water just poured and poured and poured. And I was so broken. It was just, you know, it was just all of a sudden.
Wow.
And I just want to encourage you. You can have one encounter with God. And not only will it change you and those around you, but it will change 10 generations.
Yeah.
10 generations.
No, focus on trying to fix it yourself. I kind of been there and died there on that.
I got a new book. I got a new book. Remember those years? I got a new book.
Yeah, you know, I couldn't. The revelation was, you know, you couldn't even save yourself. You know, so you couldn't even save yourself. You can't fix yourself. And I just remember a time of just seeking after God and just spending time in his presence, like you're saying. And God did more in his presence than I ever could have done. Trying to fix myself, and you just can't. God's the fixer. He's the healer. And he's the one that'll just touch you in his presence. And it just takes one second in his glory, one second while you're marinating in his beautiful love. It's absolutely beautiful because you'll change. He changes us from glory to glory to glory to glory. It's his presence. It's his love.
The Father's presence.
Yeah. Just go after him. Just go after him. Spend time with him.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. Obviously, the Lord is just speaking to you today about his love for you and that he's singing over you and he's got good plans in store for you. The difference quite often between success and failure, those that you talk to that really are honest, is 5 more minutes.
Mm. Yeah.
They were faithful 5 more minutes when everything in them, around them, betrayed them. Nobody did what they said they were going to do. You're in a pit, you know, by your brothers, and like Joseph was, you're in prison. You've been betrayed by, you know, Potiphar's wife, the baker, the cupbearer, all these different people. And just suddenly, against your will. I like that when, I don't like what happened, but what Robert Kennedy said when he was running for presidency and he just got the news that Dr. Martin Luther King had gotten assassinated. It was just like tragic, you know, and you can watch him get the news and your heart just, the whole thing was just, you know, it's just sad. And so many, you know, say, well, everything's totally fine because President Johnson signed a few bills. And it's like when your apostle is killed, when your leader
assassinated,
I mean, there's maybe a few little issues I still have I need to work out in my life here. That's not a good ending to, you know, and be open for our brothers and sisters to go through that and go through this journey. But anyway, so he gets the news and he's in a political campaign and he stops. Not knowing that, you know, a few days later that he too would be with Dr. King, and because he was going to be assassinated too, and that is John Kennedy's brother that was running for president, and of course John Kennedy's brother had been assassinated. There's 3 assassinations in the '60s. You had President John Kennedy, you had Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and you had Robert Kennedy, the president's brother.
Yeah,
and so he said, I think it was a quote from Erxis, you know, the philosopher, and I'm probably going to mess it up, but this is just so important. I mean, it's so powerful. He says, listen, he says, pain that falls drop by drop upon your heart that doesn't stop, that you can't stop, and you don't want to stop until one day, in your sleep, against your will, comes God's awesome grace. And my experience in studying many men and women of God is, against your will, you know, that it's just set in stone what God's going to do.
Yeah.
You are not going to do something. You're not going to be the one that says, hey, you're ushering in God. God's going to usher in you.
Mm-hmm.
And in that broken state, against your will, because by this time when God's about to move, you were so beat up. You were so, you know, at the end of yourself. and you're just thinking, I'm fixing to go minister to some other state somewhere. I'm just going to go find myself somewhere else. I'm just going to leave, and you're just ready to quit.
I'm done.
But hold on. Understand, in a few moments, you're going to walk out to where you always walked out, the place you just said you'd never want to go again. And God's going to surprise you. And he's going to pour himself out against your will. His awesome grace will come. Mm-hmm. And you will dine on the presence of our awesome God. And you'll be so grateful you didn't buy into the lies of the enemy and run, but you stayed. Stick, stay, and stand, even when it stinks. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.